Go for it. Let's rock and roll. Okay, now we're in the days of Teshuvah. We've been talking about the turning. On week one, we talked about the turn, how we have to come to terms with who we are and what we've done wrong and how we got to get right with God. Last week, we talked about how to take it on offense. And I gave you two real good weapons to use, the prayer of Jabez and the Baruch Atah, to be able to speak the blessing into your life. Look, there's a progression to this, and you got to follow the steps. The first step is you got to make the turn back to God. This is where I've been wrong, Lord, and I'm going to quit doing it, and I'm going to make plans, definite plans right now to get right with you. The second week, then you can start taking control. You didn't get that. The second week after you've gotten right with God, you can start taking control of your situation.
Hallelujah.
Y'all are still not getting that. Look, Jesus lives in you, does he not?
Amen.
When you got the power of Christ living in you, greater is he that's in you than that is which in the world. So after you get right with God and you remove that separation, because your sin separates you from God, after that you're walking in power. Now you can take control. And you can start telling your situation what it's going to be. You didn't get that still.
Yes, I did.
Well, somebody got it. So today we're going to talk about focus on the Feast of Tabernacles. The whole season of Teshuvah is about focusing your life on the upcoming fall holy days. So look, the holy days lay out God's plan of salvation for all mankind. You started with Passover when Yeshua had to die to pay the price for all of our sins and transgressions. We went through the days of unleavened bread where we got to comb through our life and get the sin out. We talked about Pentecost, the day God gave his laws and the day he gave you the Holy Ghost to walk it out. Now we're coming up in the fall days where it gets right. We're coming up in the fall days that show his return to rule, putting Satan in the pit, his thousand-year millennial reign, and calling up the rest of the dead to receive him as Savior. Come on now, somebody ought to be getting excited about that. So now, I ask you to make some lists. I ask you to make a list of goals for the upcoming year. And we talked about why we should show God that we should be on the schedule up here. How many of you know you're going to get judged on the Day of Trumpets? Amen? Every human being is going to be put in the scale on the Day of Trumpets, whether you like it or not. So what are you going to have to show? What are you going to do for him this year? Right? We talked about the New Yorkers. What'd you do for me lately? Bring your goal list to church next week. Bring your family budget for the upcoming year to church next week. Look, these are not for me. I've been talking about it for 3 weeks, girlfriend. Bring your list of assets and liabilities to church next week because we're going to pray over all this stuff together. You want this stuff going forward, right? Well, then we got to pray over it. This is the time of the open windows of heaven. Amen. We read that verse several times. Are we going to read it again today? And I also talked to you about making out a sin list. Now look, write this down. Now it's important, everybody. I don't want to hear anybody say, you didn't tell me, Pastor Bill. Because I'm telling you right now. 9/11, September 11th, Sabbath, after service, we're going to burn those sin lists together. Amen. We're going to talk about the Day of Atonement that day, and then we're going to burn those lists together, and then we'll keep the Day of Atonement the following Sabbath, okay? So bring those to church. Teshuvah is a season for turning back to God. Now, God's plan outlined in these fall days is going to determine your eternity. You didn't hear that. God's plan outlined in these feast days, the return of Jesus on trumpets, the putting of Satan in the pit on atonement, the rule of 1,000 years of Jesus Christ pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day, the resurrection of the rest of the dead. All of these are going to determine your eternity, but right now in Teshuvah, it's going to determine your upcoming year. How many of y'all been praying like we showed you last week? Oh, I've been lighting it up, man. I've been getting on it because you know what? This is the days of Teshuvah. You want to change in your circumstance. You got to be praying right now because you see, you got an open window of heaven for this time. And when this time is over, it closes and that's it. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't answer your prayers all year because God answers your prayers all year, but you got special favor right now. Why throw it away? You're in a time and a season of special favor. We need to be making use of it. Now, it's all about the holy days. Now, you know, every one of us should be able to see the prophetic things happening in the world right now. Every one of us should be able to see the decline of the United States as a superpower. That should scare all of us because we live here. Look, when the United States goes down, ain't a soul living here it's going to be good for. Don't trust me. All of our enemies do not want us good. They're not going to say, oh, we're no longer a threat and forget about us. Oh, no, when we're down, they're going to all kick us. It's in the Bible. It has happened before. It's going to happen again. So I want you to see the decline of behavior among the churches. You go to church anymore, they're not preaching against sin. They're not helping people get straight. They're breaking down into social groups and cliques, and it's not working anymore. It's a complete breakdown in our society. We were talking last night about the school children. They come to school now, they don't want to learn. Now, there's always been some cut-ups. But now, none of them want to learn. None of them want to get right, and they're openly telling the teachers they're not going to do it. What kind of world you going to have when nobody can read and write? What kind of world you going to have when nobody can balance a checkbook? What kind of banks you think we're going to have that can build prosperity in the country when nobody can handle funds, pay back loans, read contracts? Come on, think about it now. Who's going to keep the lights on and the roads paved? I told my wife several times, I'm planning for retirement. There's going to be no retirement. I'm going to work as long as I can because ain't nobody coming up behind me that can fill the gap. Come on, I got a janitor service and can't find help. You hear what I'm saying? You can't read the instructions. Of course, it don't help that most of them are in Spanish, but I kind of get sick of press a button for English. They ought to be press a button for some other language. This is America, man. I should have to press no buttons for English. English ought to be the default everything. As you see the prophecies coming to pass all around the world every day, as you see the return of the Lord drawing near, how can any of us wimp out on the fall holy days? The fall holy days are the consummate holy days for what's happening next and for what we're going to go through and what we're going to be in the kingdom of God. Come on, man, this tabernacle ain't up here for nothing. This is going to be important stuff. How can we cut short God in His holy days? If these days represent His eternity for mankind, wimping out on them is going to really short us for the upcoming year. If you want a good year, you got to keep His holy days. Everybody wants to cut out the holy days. I don't understand why. You know, years ago when I was in the Worldwide Church of God, when they decided they wanted to get rid of the holy days, everybody wants to get rid of the holy days. You know, if it wasn't for the holy days, we'd all love to come to your church, Pastor Bill. Look, let me tell you something. When the Worldwide Church of God went apostate and they wanted to do away with the holy days, they hired the best scholar in the Seventh-day Adventist, Dr. Samuel Bakayoki, to come and prove to the Worldwide Church of God that the holy days weren't to be kept in the modern church era. You know what happened to Dr. Bakayoki? He found out he had to keep the holy days, even though it cost him problems in the Seventh-day Adventist church. He kept them to the end of his life. So they hired somebody to come in and teach us. We didn't have to do it. And it turns out the dude that did the research said, you're right, you have to keep the holy days. Kind of blew up their plans for 2 years, but that's all right. The holy days got to be kept, and everybody's always trying to get out of the holy days. Look, you cannot have one foot in God's camp and one foot in the devil's camp. If you're keeping the pagan holidays of Christmas and Easter, you still got a foot in the devil's camp. Pull it out and get totally up into God's camp, because His pattern of holy days is the pattern for how He's going to save all mankind. Come on. Come on. Ain't you got friends that need saving? Ain't you got family members need saving? Ain't you got people already died that didn't get saved? You want them to burn in hell forever? That's a lie. God's going to raise them up at the last great day and give them a chance. And they need to see your smiling face converted, full of power, shining like the sun to help them get there. Amen. We're supposed to want this. And the holy days and how we live these holy days. Look, man, God has given you an 8-day chance to live in the kingdom of God. Why turn it down? He's given you an 8-day opportunity to step out of the world, step out of your misery, step out of all your junk, walk away from it all, go to the Feast of Tabernacles, and enjoy His kingdom for 8 whole days. How do you turn that down? I'm not going to turn it down. Malachi chapter 3. I am not going to turn it down. I told them boys out there I could preach louder than they could. They're not even out there. I did tell them. They said, oh, we're going to leave for a while. Take lunch so we're not disturbing you. I said, I can preach louder and you guys can make noise. A year of your life, a year of your prosperity, a year of your family happiness, whether or not you were even on the schedule for a year, are all determined during Teshuvah and how you prepare and keep these fall holy days. Come on, think about that. We had several deaths in here this year already. It was determined last year during Teshuvah. God's deciding on the Day of Trumpets whether you're going to be here or not for a year. You got 10 days grace from Trumpets to Atonement before the decision is final. Come on. Why let it just be about whether you're going to be here? Why not go ahead and get right with God right now? Why not go ahead and get in His program right now? Why not go ahead and get where you need to be right now so that you can be showing God why you need to be here and how much of a deal you're going to make of it for this? Come on, somebody. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Okay, I'm just one of many. I'm not the messenger. I'm an messenger. And I'm preparing the way before the Lord by telling you what you got to do to be right with Him. I'm a messenger that's standing up here acting like a fool every Sabbath showing you what you got to do from His holy word to be right with Him. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. Suddenly He's going to come to that temple and He's going to rescue a remnant and take them out of here before everything gets really bad. Do you want to be suddenly found by the Lord and taken out of here? Come on, somebody. These fall holy days are everything about this event and the events that are prophesied to happen. Trumpets is the day. Come on, somebody. Y'all didn't get that. We talking about it last night. Trumpets is the only festival on a new moon. You don't know when the new moon is and you'll never know the day or the hour. Come on, somebody. You didn't get that. The new moon is when they sight the first crescent in the sky. You don't know when that is. They can tell you when the full of the dark moon is, but they can't tell you when you go see the first crescent. It's a 3-day period you got to look. You won't ever know the day or the hour, but you can always know the season because it says in the Bible, in the book of Amos, oh, surely the Lord God does nothing except He tell His servants, the prophets first. We already know the season He's coming. He's coming on trumpets. How can I know that? Because you go to Luke chapter 2 and you find out that He was born on trumpets. The shepherds are still in the field. They come in for atonement. The lambs they were watching weren't just any lambs. These aren't just sheep. These guys ain't just any old shepherds. These are the lambs that are going to be sacrificed during tabernacles. So He's born on trumpets. They went back and they have found the star. We're showing that movie at the feast and I'm still trying to find a way to buy that movie so we can sell it at the feast. Regium and Jupiter had a conjunction in the heart of the lion during the month of the virgin birth on September 11, 3 B.C., the day of trumpets, and that's when Jesus Christ came into this world. We can date it with accuracy because you know what? The sun, the moon, and the stars are for the signs of the times. That word times is moed. Sometimes it's translated seasons. It's still the word moed. All of God's appointed times are delineated by the astronomical clock of the stars. And you know, want to know something really wild about our great and majestic mighty God? It only works from planet Earth. It only works that way from this planet. This planet is so uniquely positioned that from this planet only, all of these signs appear in the heavens just for us on humankind on earth. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says Yahweh El Shaddai. Let me tell you something. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. How you tend your temple, how you take care. Are you carrying it in holiness? Are you treating it the way God told you to treat it? Are you caring for His Spirit that lives in you the way He told you to treat it? Is it a holy temple? Are you doing holy things with it? Do you want Him to come to your temple and suddenly find you? But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? That's why we go through Teshuvah. Think about it. He's coming to get His bride on the day of trumpets. We will have had 30 days, the month of Elul, on the Hebrew calendar to get right with Him. Who can stand the day of His coming? Nobody who didn't take Teshuvah seriously will be able to stand the day of His coming because they will have blown Him off. They will have not made provision. They will have not sought repentance during the open windows of heaven month to get repentance. And when He comes, He ain't going to be happy. Who is going to be ready for the Lord when He comes? Are you going to have gone through repentance by trumpets? Are you going to be ready for the Lord when He shows up? You don't know what year it is. You don't know if it's this year or not. All you know is when that shofar blows, you want to be the one to hear it. You don't know. For He will be a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. God is looking for a people who will obey His word. God is looking for a people who are done playing games with Him and are going to start living the way He said to live. God is looking for a people who are going to jump in this word right here, the Holy Hebrew Bible, and learn it and live it and walk it. Because knowing it ain't good enough. If you know it and don't do it, you're just guilty. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Then the Lord will have men who bring offerings in righteousness. What's an offering in righteousness? I tell you what an offering in righteousness is. You can't bring Him enough gold to buy your soul. You were not bought with perishable things such as silver or gold, but you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That means the only thing you can bring Him is right living. The only offering you can make He's going to be happy with is changing your life to conform to His word. Changing His life to conform to His law in the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. When you start changing your life, you can bring Him a righteous offering, and that's what He's going to be satisfied with. That's why it comes like a refiner's fire or a fuller's soap to clean all the junk out of us. But you see, when He comes on the day of trumpets, you're supposed to already spent the whole month of Eli will get right. He's coming to judge His people. Didn't Peter tell us that judgment begins with the house of God? And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in the former years. So I will come near to you for judgment. He's telling you He's coming near to us for judgment. Does not the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians say that we would not fall under judgment if we judged ourselves? That's what Teshuvah is about. Making the turning. Judging ourselves. Seeing where we are. Realizing what kind of stuff we've done and going to the Lord and telling Him, Lord, I know what I've done. I'm sorry I did it and I'll quit. But we gotta mean it. We gotta mean it. So I will come to near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive the alien of justice. But do not fear me, says Yahweh El Shaddai. That word fear is a special word. It's mistranslated in your English, but it means who keep my commandments. You can't break the commandments of God and come near to Him. When you come in with the commandments, that's when you can come near to Him. I, Yahweh, do not change. So you, O descendants of Yaakov, are not destroyed. For ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says Yahweh. So I'm asking, how do you return? You make that sin list out. And you tell God, I'm sorry for doing all this stuff. You go through your Bible and you see where you have done wrong and you make up your mind, I will quit doing those things and I'm going to make the changes. The reason I ask you for a goal list is because you're supposed to be looking at your life. Americans are so crazy. We just stumble and bumble through like everything's okay. Whatever I want to do is fine. And I'm just going to stumble and bumble along. Whatever I feel emotionally satisfied to do at this moment, that's what I'm going to do. God's looking at your life. He's Jewish. He's not like us. He's expecting every one of us to do something good for Him. Come on, somebody. You didn't hear that. Did not Jesus Christ say that the servant who only does his duty is unprofitable? He's looking for what are you going to do for His kingdom while you're living here? What are you going to do? What changes are you going to make? What actions are you going to take? Well, the first thing we got to do is start living by the laws of the kingdom. The first thing we got to do is start living by His laws and commandments and make the change to get right with Him. The second thing we got to do is start helping other people to understand the God of creation, who He is and what He is. First thing, Sabbath. Why Sabbath? Because God says that the Sabbath is the sign that He's the creator and that you've got a relationship with Him. Friday night to Saturday night is the only sign you've got that you know who the creator is. There ain't another one in the Bible from stem to stern. You really got to bring them there before you start talking to them about Jesus. Because the Jesus that's been presented to them is a fraud. You can't bring them to Christ until they can understand who He is. And the doorway to understanding who He is keeping His Sabbath day holy. Teshuvah is about the returning. We have to return in every way where we are not obeying. The holy days are absolutely essential to that turn. The devil is always trying to get everybody to abandon the holy days. Well, I'm keeping the Sabbath. I don't got to keep the holy days. Wrong. Wrong. You ain't getting in no rescue if you don't keep the holy days. I can't tell you how many times Jesus has told me that in prayer. He ain't taking nobody that don't keep His holy days. You cut out the holy days and you cut your ticket up and threw it away and said, I must have the great tribulation. And in that great tribulation, you will learn why you needed to keep the holy days. Y'all didn't get that. I'm preaching too good. Nobody wants to shout me down now. The reason I preach this strong on these holy days is because this is going to make a huge difference in whether you go in the rescue or you sit behind and watch the tribulation from a front row seat. I'd rather you have a back row seat. The holy days are just like your life. They're what you make them. Every one of us, or nearly every one of us, Raina being the obvious exception in here, grew up with the pagan holidays. You know what it's like after you've been converted, walking this way of life. You can't go anywhere. They're not playing Christmas music everywhere. You can't get the songs out of your head. It's like, oh, get that mess out of here. They celebrate lies because they don't know any better. But you know what? The holy days are what we make of them. We have the truth of the living God. How much are we going to celebrate? How much is our life going to be wrapped up and involved in this? How much are we going to make of His coming kingdom? How much are we going to make of the rescue? Do you want to be rescued, right? How much are we going to make of the day when Jesus put His blood on God's ark in heaven? How much are we going to make of the day when He puts the devil in the bottomless pit and seals the lid on it? Come on now, that ought to be some shouting ground right there. How much are we going to make of the 1,000-year rule of Christ telling us you're in a temporary dwelling right now, but a permanent habitation is coming? It's called the New Jerusalem. How much are we going to celebrate for all of our lost friends and family members to get called up and given a chance to that life? Come on. How much is that knowledge worth to you that your unsaved family members ain't being tormented in hell? Come on. That ought to be some shouting ground right there. Life is what we make of it. What are we going to make on this? How much are we going to put into it? Jesus is making a bride ready. And so He has given us things to do during Teshuvah. I've talked to you about combing the sin out of your life. It's important, right? Have we been doing that? You got that list stashed somewhere good though, right? So that your other family members can't sneak up across that list and find it. Woo, look what they've been into. Woo-hoo! Come on. We all afraid of that. You ought to see, some of y'all new folks ought to see how carefully people guard that sin list when we go to put it in the fire. Mine goes in first. All the others go in on top of them. See, I don't worry about mine. It's just down on the pine cones. It's burning up good. But everybody else is standing on top. They're watching. They watch it make it burn all the way to the end, right? Nobody wants to see that. But let me tell you something. The people who did it for the first time last year were crying their eyes out because they could feel the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and their sins being removed. They could feel the forgiveness and they could feel their sins being lifted off of them and put into the sea of forgetfulness forever. You know what the Father tells the devil, don't you? Well, after you repent, He tells the devil it never happened. My boy, my daughter didn't do that. That's the beauty of the forgiveness of the sins through Jesus Christ shed blood, because it makes it as though they never even happened. Come on, you've seen the Serve Master commercial. Never even happened. But we got to confess them to Him. And it's not because He doesn't already know. It's because we have to go through the psychological process of admitting it to Him, because that's the first step in being able to break free. You didn't get that. Every one of us is bondage to something in our life. And the first psychological step we got to make to break free of that sin and that bondage to sin is admitting it to God that we did it. He already saw us do it. It's not like we have to explain to Him what we did. He saw everything. He saw the motive of our heart. He saw the intent in our minds. He saw everything that we thought, and He saw what we did. It's all there before the eyes of Him to whom we give account. But it's our admitting it that breaks us free from doing it again. Come on, somebody. Lackluster holy day observance is a sin. Lackluster holy day observance is a sin. That's why you can't short out the holy days. That's why it's got to be the highlight of your year. That's why you've got to make a big deal out of it. We talked about budgeting our money. We talked about making goals. We talked about praying for our unsaved family members. Hope y'all been doing that this week. That was this week's deal. He's making a bride ready. He wants us to live by His laws and His commandments, and we cannot do that while we're shorting our holy day observance. I'm just a servant of the Lord explaining to you what you got to do to walk in the full power of God Almighty. Things happen. Things are always going to happen. There's always going to be a reason and an excuse for you to say, I can't do it this year. But God is looking at us and saying, how much can I trust them? How much can I believe in my servants, put your name in there, to do the right thing no matter what comes against them? Did Job keep from sinning? Come on. Did Job keep from sinning? No matter what the devil brought against Job, Job maintained his integrity. So God's looking at you and He's asking the same thing. Put your name in here. No matter what happens to them when they come up to holy days, are they going to stand tall for the Lord? Are they going to stand tall for me? Are they going to go and celebrate with great joy no matter what happens? Come on. Come on. Lost my mother on the first high day. Unleavened bread, 1995. That was a weird year. Trust me, that's a weird year. I was still able to praise my God on the way home. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's a hard thing to have to go through all that funeral and stuff during the feast. The purity of your walk with the living Christ is going to determine what kind of Feast of Tabernacles you have. Are you going to go to the feast and get touched by God? Are you going to go on the Day of Atonement and get to see the living Christ? Are you going to get... Come on, how many of y'all have seen Christ? Raise your hand, literally. How many of you have seen Him? The purity of your walk is going to determine how well you get right, how well you repent, how well you go through these steps that we're telling you is going to determine the quality of your God encounter on atonement and during the Feast of Tabernacles. We have taken probably 12 or 15 people into the holy place in the heavens above, and they've seen that ark in front of God's throne in the Spirit. You can be one of them this year. People have literally been touched by God. You will trip out the first time it happens. I can promise you. You will freak out. You will not know what's going on and it will trip you. But that's okay. That's okay. He understands that when He does it. He understands the first time you make real contact with the real God, you will freak out. It's okay though. Because if you're really hungry for Him and you really want Him and you keep pressing in, you will encounter Him more than once, and the second or third time you will start straightening up. Come on. Will you get to see Christ on atonement? I look forward to it. I love the Day of Atonement. Come on, y'all know how much I love to eat. Fast day is not really my favorite thing to do, but you know what? I get to see Yeshua on atonement. I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know that I'm going to get to see Yeshua any other day of the year, and praise God, I have been blessed by Him to have seen Him several times outside of atonement. But you know what? There ain't nothing like seeing Him on the Day of Atonement because my vision is real clear on that day. My vision is real clear in the Spirit on that day. Will you be touched during tabernacles? So many people have been touched and look around, nobody's there. But they know what they felt. So a man at one church came to Tabernacles last year. When I talked to him several months later, he came and I asked him, I said, you know, brother, you never really got to tell me what happened to you during Tabernacles last year. And he gave me his testimony. And let me tell you something. That man was shaking, and that man was unctionized. Every follicle on his arms was standing straight up. And that man was telling me, no one can tell me what I felt didn't happen to me. I know it's real. I don't care what anybody tells me. I know it's real. I know it's real. I know it's real. He came up and hugged me, and this man was bawling his eyes out telling me. That's a testimony right there. Are you going to have one like that? Come on. We're not doing all of this stuff just to be happy church. We're not doing all this stuff to be quasi-messianic. We're doing all this stuff because it's a relationship to take you in. We're doing all this stuff so that you can have contact with the living God. Look, when He made Adam and Eve in the garden, they walked and talked with Him, did they not? It was their sins that set them apart. And every person recorded in this book that set their heart to turn back to God has a God encounter recorded in this book. Do they not? Do they not? Come on, somebody. Was Enoch not taken because he walked with God? Think about that one for a minute. Enoch was taken because he walked with God. Methuselah's name meant in the ancient language that when I die, the flood comes. You didn't know that, did you? He died 7 days before Noah went in the ark. Did you know that? You know why it was 7 days? Because that was the ancient burial custom to mourn for somebody for 7 days. Methuselah dies. His life is the sign that the end of the world is coming. Noah gets 7 days to mourn for his great-grandfather, and he goes into the ark, God closes him in, and it's done. See, we read over all this stuff because the English doesn't explain it. But I'm explaining it to you. You can't plan on skipping out on God's holy days or shorting them or giving lackluster celebration and expecting anything to happen for you at Tabernacles. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. We've been here before. Deuteronomy chapter 14. Look, I did this through bankruptcy and foreclosure, y'all. Okay? I'm not teaching you stuff that I haven't walked in. I'm not telling you to do stuff knowing your situation, some of them, and I'm just being hard-cased and no way to bend, no way to, right? I'm doing this because I have walked it. And I have walked it in good times, and I have walked it in bad times. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe. Okay, the first tithe goes to Levi. You don't eat that tithe. That goes to Levi. Levi eats that tithe. The Levite eats the first tithe. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place He will choose as a dwelling for His name so that you may learn to worship the Lord your God always. But if that place is too distant and you've been blessed and cannot carry your tithe, then exchange your tithe for silver. Take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like. Cattle, sheep, wine. That's food, y'all. That's food. You're not buying cows to take home and raise. You're buying cows to slaughter and eat. They didn't have refrigerators. You kept the animal alive, took him with you because that's the only way you got to keep your food alive. Fermented drink, strong drink, wine. Okay, they had malt liquor in the Egyptian tombs that knock you on your tail. Are you kidding? Don't tell me they didn't have strong drink. Anything you wish, then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. How are you going to rejoice if you're not bringing your tithe to go to the holy days? How are you going to rejoice and eat and drink whatever you want if you don't bring your tithe to the holy days? I did it through bankruptcy and foreclosure. Come on. I've been in hard times. My life hasn't been easy. As a matter of fact, most of my life has been quite hard. I did this every single year. Good years and bad years and all the years in between. Because that's what God says to do. He says to go to the Feast of Tabernacles and rejoice before Him with your tithe and eat and drink and be merry and worship Him. And worship Him. And worship Him. This is what God says to do. Flip over to Malachi chapter 3. We'll take it up into verse 7 and continue on. Verse 8. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? How are we robbing God? In tithes and offerings. That's plural. Tithes, plural. You see, a lot of people will first tithe, but they don't want to save the second tithe to go to the feast. You're robbing God when you do that. You're robbing God when you do that. What if it ain't enough? Okay, you don't worry about if it ain't enough. You just bring your tithe. Because to him that fears the Lord, to him his blessing will afford. Right? You don't worry about it. Don't you serve the God that took the fishes and the loaves and fed 12,000 people? Just bring what you got. All you got to do is follow through. Doesn't matter little or much. Do not we serve the God who told them to go gather manna, and the man that gathered little had no lack, and the man that gathered much had none left? Come on. We're robbing God because we're not doing what He said. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Our whole nation's under a curse. Why? Because we're not bringing first tithe in. We got $14 trillion in gross domestic product, but $1.4 trillion does not go into the gospel of Jesus Christ. $1.4 trillion does not go into celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Imagine the difference in our country if we did that. Imagine the difference in this country if everybody brought the tithe into God's storehouse and we were really preaching the real gospel of Jesus. You can't spend all that in the United States. You hear what I'm saying? $1.4 trillion would require us to preach the gospel over the whole face of the planet. What if we were going to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with $1.4 trillion in the United States? We couldn't spend it all here. We would have to lavish our brethren in Africa and India so that they would be able to keep the... Come on, somebody. If we were doing what God said, the blessings would be so strong on this country that nobody would be able to stand in front of us. But we're not doing what He said to do. Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says Yahweh El Shaddai, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. We're to test Him in this. We're to test Him in this. We're to take our first tithe and bring it to church, and we're to take our second tithe and celebrate before Him on His holy days. I've told you all, take 2 months at Passover, 1 month at Pentecost, 1 month for trumpets and atonement, and 8 months at tabernacles, and celebrate before the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And He will throw up the store windows of heaven and store heaven. Pour out so much blessing on you, you won't be able to handle it all. Everybody wants to say, well, I can't do it. He gave this to a nomadic people dwelling in the desert, herding goats. In the Stone Age. If it will work for them, it will work for us. He gave this to a people living in worse than third world conditions at the time and told them it would work for them. This is for all people at all times, in all areas, in all circumstances of life. Whatever you got, you bring your tithe to the feast. Whatever you got, you tithe to the man teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your life will turn around. Things will get straight. And you will bring blessing into your life. This is the season of making the turn. This is the season of saying, this is where I fall short and this is what I'm going to do different. This is the season of seeing in the Word of God what He says to do and making it right and making it true and making it sound and making it solid. That's what goals are for. That's what plans are for. To show God, I'm not just sorry and I'm going to turn around and do it again. I'm sorry enough to make a change because teshuvah includes change. No change, no teshuvah. There's so much about this, saving your tithe for the feast. There's so much about learning how to set up, going to a different place. There's so much about packing up your stuff and going off to the feast. When you're keeping it at home, especially when you got unconverted members in the family, you can't really keep the feast at home because every time you go back, they're still in the world. Every time you go back, it's back in the world, 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 back in the world. God don't want you dealing with the mail. God don't want you dealing with your clients. God don't want you dealing with your job. God don't want you dealing with the unsaved people. He wants to get you over here by Himself with God's people for 8 days where all you experience is Him, the power of Spirit, His Word, and the other believers who are baptized in the Holy Ghost with you. There's a lot involved with saving your tithe up in the anticipation that comes all year. It mirrors and is exactly representative of you saving up yourself from the sins of the world so you can go and be a part of His kingdom. It's all about the anticipation of getting out of here. You are in a temporary house right now, but you've got a permanent dwelling coming. Did He not say that they are made complete together with you? Abraham and all the patriarchs, they saw it from afar off, but they were strangers and aliens in the land. The Feast of Tabernacles is to show you and demonstrate to you conclusively that as long as you live in this world, you're a stranger and alien in this land, and that your only future home, your only future place to live, your only permanent habitations comes in the kingdom of God. Together with the patriarchs, you'll get to celebrate the kingdom of Jesus and get to live it and rule it for 1,000 years. You don't get that when you're skipping out on all this stuff. Hallelujah. Making the budget. Are you going to be able to rule in the kingdom of God? You're going to have control over cities. There's a budget involved. Budget in your tithe. Learning how to set apart your tithe. Learning how to figure out how much it takes to live in the kingdom of God for 8 days and knowing when you got extra so you can bless somebody who doesn't. That's how come new people's tithes make it. Don't you get it? A new person comes in June or July and they understand what they gotta do. When they become obedient, start tithing. God's moving somebody who's already been obedient and already got an abundance of tithe is looking at that person. Oh, are they tithing? Are they coming on board? Are they doing right? Oh, I gotta make sure that they don't ever go lack during the feast, man. I'm gonna cover it. And then when you come in the way of life and you're living this way and God is starting to bless you and you're setting aside your tithe, you'll be looking at the door for the new person coming in. Man, they blessed me last year at the feast. They wouldn't let me spend my money. Man, everybody was blessing me every time I turned around. I couldn't hardly find a check. When I talked to the waiters, all they did was laugh at me. But I see the new person coming in. They're coming in and they just learned and they don't know the truth. And I'm going to bless them. It becomes a competition to see who can out-bless the other person. That's God's way. The devil's way is always trying to push your check off on somebody else. God's way is always trying to steal the check from somebody else. You can't do it without your tithe. Jeremiah chapter 6. God's way is better. God's ways are so far above our ways, we can't hardly keep up. But he didn't ask us to understand it. He asked us to live it. And you want to know something great about God, something mighty and majestic and powerful about the Creator God of the Hebrew Bible? You're never going to understand His ways while you're only reading about it. You're only going to come to understand His ways when you're living it out. And when you're doing it with your hands and looking at it with your eyes and hearing it with the ears, then it's going to come together for you. You're going to go, oh, that's what He meant. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. This is what Yahweh says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths where the good way is. I'm showing you how to walk on the ancient paths. I'm showing you how to go back to the ancient ways of the Creator God. Where the good way is. And walk in it. You don't get nothing from the knowing it. The knowing it and the blessing and the power of God in your life comes from the walking in it, not the talking in it. And you will find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not walk in it. How many people come in here and when they hear the truth presented, as one lady said, Pastor Bill, you made it so plain that even a baby could understand it. And then we will not walk in it. We will not walk in it. Teshuvah is about getting over the we will not walk in it. Teshuvah is about, God, man, you're right. You're right and I'm wrong. I'm going to walk in the ancient paths. I'm going to give up my modern ways because they ain't brought me nothing but pain and misery. I'm going to give up the junk that I hear everywhere else out there and I'm just going to take you at your word, God, and I'm going to walk in your ancient paths. Because you know what? He is still looking for a people of God that will walk in those ancient paths. Everybody keeps saying it's done away. I tell you what's done away. What's done away is the United States we live in. That's done away because we are rejecting the law of God. We are rejecting the law of God until this country goes back to the ancient past. But you know what? I was thinking about this last night when I laid down to go to sleep. He's going to turn them into tribulation. He's going to turn them into tribulation. I'm trying to get you out of the tribulation and into the rescue. And the way in the rescue is to walk in these ancient paths and to live it. The way is to walk in the ancient paths. The way is to carry out the form and the similitude of life that God's laid out in His holy Torah. That's the way to go. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, O nations, observe, O witnesses, and what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, I'm bringing disaster on this people, the fruit of their schemes, because they have not listened to my words and they have rejected my law. What do I care about incense from Sheba and sweet calamus from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable and your sacrifices do not please me. It gets worse. Return to the ancient paths is what everything we're trying to tell you to do is. Return to the ancient ways of God Almighty. He spoke to His servant Moses and He told him all these words saying, thus says the Lord God, the very word of Yahweh God. When they saw God speak the Ten Commandments, the sound waves came off the mountain in fire. He's not playing. He didn't say all this to hear Himself talk. I'm not reading all this just to sound good. This is what God wants done. God wants you to celebrate His fall feast with everything you got in you. Then, if you do that, you will suddenly find God at His temple, which is His body, and you are a possessor of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to see your God suddenly at the temple? Then you got to celebrate the fall feast, Deuteronomy 16. The season of Teshuvah is a season of yielding to Him and making the preparations to obey Him at the fall feast. That's why I said today's sermon is focus on the feast. First thing we did was get right with God. The second thing we did was press in for our circumstances and our unsaved family members. Now it's time to prepare for the feast. Focus on the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? It's the next thing coming up is the return of Jesus, right? The next thing up is the return of Jesus to rule and reign on this earth. He's not going to be playing games. Look, in the book of Revelation it says when the armies turn to fight Him at Armageddon, a sword comes out of His mouth and kills them all. He's not coming back to play. He's not coming back to be sacrificed. He's coming down to put down armed insurrection and to take control of the governments of this world. He's not coming back to play. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13, celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you've gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. Be joyful at your feast. This is not the time to walk around all sad. This is the time to shout and holler. This is the time to be excited. This is the time to buy the things you want and to feel good and to forget all your troubles. Look, I can promise you, on October 1st, when you go home from the feast, every one of your troubles will be waiting at your house for you. I can assure you that everything bad in your life that you walk away from on September 22nd will be waiting right at your door to greet you when you come home. You will never find a more loyal dog than your troubles waiting to find you when you come home. But you're supposed to turn loose of them for 8 days and forget about them. Just walk away from them, right? Just walk away. You go into the kingdom of God. Let me ask you a question. If you are so fortunate to be picked up in the air and carried off to the kingdom of God at the rescue of the saints, are you going to be worried about all the stuff left behind at your house? Are you going to be on the way up to the meet Jesus in the air? Are you going to be going, well, Lord, I don't know. I've got those bills to pay. Oh, Lord, I don't know. All those people got all that stirred up junk at my house. Maybe I need to go back and fix it first. No. I assure you that if you feel yourself rising up off the ground and you hear the shofar, you're going to be shouting and hollering like you ain't never shouted and hollered in your life. You ain't going to care about nothing that you left behind at your house. They'll sort it out when you get back. Come on. And that's the way you got to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. You leave all your troubles behind. Look, I can say it because I've done it. Amen? I can say it because I've done it. Raina will tell you, she knows. I've done it. I walk away. I don't carry no troubles with me, man. They're waiting at the house when I get back. I go to celebrate. I go to shout and holler and kick it up. Look, the time to be still with the Lord is on atonement. We're going to talk about that on September 11th. The time to shout and holler and make a commotion is Tabernacles. Be joyful at your feast. Be joyful. You and your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants, the Levites, aliens, fatherless, everybody's supposed to go to Tabernacles. Nobody has an excuse to say, well, I'm only this, I can't go. No, everybody's supposed to be rounded up and carried down to Jerusalem to praise God for 8 days. We fussing about time off. Look, if you lived up in Dan, it might take you a week to walk down there. And it might take you a week to walk back home. So you weren't taking off for 8 days. You were taking off for most of a month. Come on, somebody. We only taking off exactly the 8 days and not a minute more. Come on. For 7 days, celebrate. Now, come on now. I ain't the only one got a past in here. I ain't the only one got a past in here. Every one of us knew how to celebrate to the devil back in the day. Come on. Back in the day, we knew what that word meant. We knew what to do. No one used to have to drag me to Shabbat party on Friday night when I was celebrating to the devil. Come on. Come on. No one had to browbeat me and carry me. When it was time to celebrate for the devil on Friday night, I was the first in line. Come on. Back in the day, I used to be evangelistic about getting everybody to celebrate to the devil. Now I'm evangelistic trying to get you to celebrate for God. Come on. It's time to celebrate His kingdom. It's time to celebrate His kingdom. That means dancing. That means shouting. That means lots of good food. Come on. Come on. I ain't the only one from the 70s. We used to get the munchies back in the day. Come on. Come on. Look, I have been picked up and carried away from the grill at parties. Oh, that chicken's done. You just holding on to it for yourself. And then they're eating bloody raw chicken. Come on. Come on. We're supposed to eat and we're supposed to drink. not to excess. We're supposed to have a good time. We're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to yell and shout and praise God and get on our face and worship and feel the power of God in the house and get touched by God. Why? Because he said if you come and do this before him always, he's going to be right there with you. And what it says, touch not the unclean thing and I will walk among you. Teshuvah is putting away all the unclean things. Teshuvah is getting rid of all the pagan idolatry. Teshuvah is getting rid of all the worldly holidays that we don't need no more. Get all that junk out. Get all that junk out so we can come in and get in the presence of Almighty God and feel the power of the Holy Ghost come. Look, you ain't never been drunk in your life or high in your life till you've been drunk and high in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Second Chronicles. Some people still looking for Sabbath church to be Sunday on Saturday. Sabbath church ain't like that. It's a whole new way of life. There ain't nothing about Sunday on Saturday. Sabbath church is about the complete turn. Man, if you're not keeping the fall holy days, you're still in rebellion to God. Look, Sabbath church is about making the complete turn away from all that mess. Walking away from it. You don't want it. You don't need it. It ain't never done you no good. And Sabbath church is about coming into the power of His presence. Sabbath church is about coming into full truth. Come on, man. Everything you want, everything you've ever wanted, everything you need is in Sabbath church. But it's a whole change of life. You got to leave them holidays. It ain't Sunday, Sunday on Saturday. It's about a whole new way of life. Look, this tabernacle right here represents the coming kingdom of God. This tabernacle right here represents the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. And that's what you're supposed to celebrate every Sabbath. Come on, somebody. Second Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel, the heads of all the tribes, the chiefs of all the Israelite families to bring up the ark of Yahweh's covenant from Zion, the city of David. Excuse me. And all the men of Israel came together to the king at the time of the festival in the seventh month. Woo-hoo! Hey, it's time for tabernacles, y'all. And we finna bring the Ark of the Covenant up and we gonna have some God time. Come on. Y'all ain't getting this. The feast of the seventh month. The feast of the seventh month is tabernacles. He's gonna bring up the Ark of the Covenant for tabernacles and they gonna have a feast, baby. Huh? They gonna have a feast like we ain't never had yet. But we're going to have one day. You ready? You ready for that? When all the elders of Israel had arrived, the Levites took up the ark and they brought up the ark and the tent of meeting and all the sacred furnishings. And the priests who were Levites carried them up. The king and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the ark, sacrificing so many sheep and cattle they could not be recorded or counted. You know why? Do you know why so many animals died? It made a river of blood coming off the holy temple mount. Made a river of blood because Jesus' blood is the blood that pays for all of us and it's immeasurable and it cannot be recorded nor counted because His blood pays for everybody, past, present, future. It pays for everything we've ever done. Nothing can compare to the blood of Jesus. And that's why when they brought this ark up for this God encounter that those animals were sacrificed, so many they could not be recorded or counted. The priest brought the ark of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. And the cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark and covered the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends extending from the ark could be seen from in front of the inner sanctuary, but not from outside the holy place. And they are there today. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets that Moses had placed in it at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. Then the priests withdrew from the holy place, and all the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their divisions. Whether on duty or not, they all got ready. And all the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons. You realize that most of these guys wrote psalms, right? You realize these guys right here, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, all wrote psalms in your Bible. And their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar dressed in fine linen, which is white, by the way, and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. And they were accompanied by 120 priests sounding shofars. And the trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to Yahweh. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices. They raised their voices in praise to Yahweh. This word is hallel. They made hallel to the Lord. Hallel is translated tumult in one place, commotion in another. It's not quiet praise. When they make a hallel, they can hear it 12 miles away. Hallel to the Yahweh. And they sang, He is good and His love endures forever. And then the temple of the Lord was filled with the glory. And the priests could not perform their service because of the glory, because of the kavod of the Lord filled the temple of God. Kavod means heavy. The weighty, heavy presence of God filled the temple when they made the tumult. Look at what's going on. There was repentance, symbolized by the river of blood and the blood of Yeshua without measure. There was repentance. They carried the ark, which symbolizes the presence of God on their shoulders. We carry it when we lift up our hands in worship. Nothing was in the ark except the tablets of the law, the book of the law. We carry that on our shoulders when we live it. So there's repentance in Jesus. There is repentance during Teshuvah when we make the change. We're saying we will carry your law, O Lord, because we want your presence. This is Teshuvah, making the change. And when we do that, and when we go to tabernacles, and we raise up the music, why has it got to be so loud, Pastor Bill? Because we're making hallelujah to Yahweh. That's why it's got to be loud. I want them to hear it in the parking lot. I want folks driving by to feel the power of the Holy Ghost fall, and them to come in and say, why do I got to be here? Crying tears. I don't know why I got to be here, but I got to come in and find God. We got to make hallelujah to have the glory fall. We got to crank it up loud because it says make hallel.
Yes.
Sorry about that. Is the law of God in your heart? Is the law of God in your heart? Are you carrying the law of God in your heart? Is the Spirit and the fire of God in the holy place in your heart? The heart is the seat of your mind, will, and emotions. What's in there? Is it because I want to serve God and live by His laws and commandments? Is it because the Holy Ghost dwells in me that I want to be close to God and walk in the power? Third, all of the priests consecrated themselves regardless of whether or not they were on duty. And that is another thing that we do during Teshuvah, is to consecrate ourselves by getting the impurities out, getting the uncleanness out, making the sin list. Nothing cleans you like the blood of Jesus. That's why we will take communion before the Day of Atonement. So that we can be clean and pure and consecrated and made holy for our God. Fourth, they praise God with exuberance. Not quiet still, but rowdy and very loud. Atonement is for still. We will be very still before the Lord on atonement. We will not have rowdy music. We'll have it turned up a little bit, but it will be intimate music. It will be soft music. It will be get on your face and bawl your eyes out music. But at the feast, it's got to be rowdy. Like we did here today. That's a feast DVD that we're checking out to make sure it works. Tabernacles is a time to make commotion. And the glory came. And the kavod was so heavy they could not stand. And they got to encounter their God. Preparation precedes the encounter. And Teshuvah is the season of making the preparation so that you can have the encounter. Do you want to encounter your God? He still encounters His people today. Do you not believe the book of Acts? Do you not believe the book of Acts? God encountered a select few under what we derisively call the Old Testament. They had the Spirit of God. That is your hotline to Jesus. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you got a hotline to the Lord. We don't ever use it. It's the coldest line in our house when it ought to be the one we're on. We answer every cell phone call and we ought to be turning the dog off. We ought to be on the red line to Jesus because that's the one that counts. In the book of Acts, you read about one God encounter after another and they never tell you the God encounters the apostles had. You ever notice that? This one had one, that one had one, yonder. They never talk about John and James and Peter and the like. Why? Why? Because they're making the point to you that in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we all have access to God encounters.
Hallelujah.
And yet church is the coldest place in the town. That's not a witness. That's a rebuke. We've got to make teshuvah and turn back to God. We've got to make teshuvah and come back to His laws and commandments. We've got to make teshuvah and clean the uncleanness and the impurities out of our life so that He will walk among us and be our God and we will be His people. That's in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. But we're not cleaning the impurities out. We're putting them at arm's length. Everything in this holy Hebrew Bible is about how to encounter the living God, and we do everything we can not to encounter Him because we don't want that much of God in our life. How are we going to go into rescue? How are we going to hear the shofar that blows? You know, when Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, his friends heard thunder. Only Saul heard the voice. Only Saul heard the voice. When are we going to get ready? When are we going to make right? When are we going to make teshuvah in our heart, our mind, our will and emotion so we can have this kind of God encounter? Every story in this book from Genesis to Revelation is about a people who will make themselves holy. Go to Revelation 19 and look. The people who sing hallelujah in heaven are wearing linen, the righteous, pure white linen that represents the righteous acts of the saints. You don't get to be a saint unless you got righteous acts. What are righteous acts? Living the Torah in your body of flesh. Preparation precedes the God encounter. Teshuvah is the season of turning everything in your life, your mind, your will, your emotions, your finance, your household, your job, your family, everything back to God. People will get mad at you. You realize that, right? You realize people will get mad at you. When you refuse to do the things with them that you've always done with them because you're going to stand up for God, they're going to be mad at you. What do you care? You get touched by Jesus Christ at the Feast of Tabernacles, I can promise you, you will never care. You will never care. You will never, ever care again. Oh, you'll love them. You'll be nice to them. You won't be ugly with them. But once you feel that touch over here and you feel the tingling go all over your body, and you kind of look over, and there ain't nobody there. I will never forget the first time I was praying, and I was in warfare prayer. Some of y'all know what that is. And I was walking back and forth, and I was really getting it. And I walked up to this one place, and I could not really see Him with my eyes, but I could feel Him right in front of me. And I began to cry heavily, and I dropped to my knees, and all I could say was, oh my God. Jesus did not die for you on a cross to watch your life from somewhere else and just see how it turns out. Jesus Christ took your sin on Himself, and He aims to be a part of your life. He aims to walk with you, hold your hand, get up in your business, and be a part of everything you say or do. That's a truth that the Christian church has forgotten about. But if you go back and read the early church in the book of Acts, that's all they talked about. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're supposed to have better promises in the new covenant, amen? Say better promises. The new covenant is supposed to be founded on better promises. I've never seen this. Have you ever seen this? Fire fall from heaven? The glory in the cloud? No one able to stand by reason of the kavod? I've never seen that. Verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priest could not enter the temple because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground. They worshiped God and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good and His love endures forever. But let somebody get on their face in here once in a while and people say, oh, I can't believe you're on your face like that. Oh, what are you doing in church? If this ain't the place to get on your face and worship God, I don't know what place it will ever be. Do you want the glory to fall? Do you want to have that encounter with him? Raina used to have a shirt that I love so much. It showed a guy on the floor praying. It says, make war on the floor. I love that shirt. Wish I could get more copies of it. Make war on the floor, baby. That's where it's going on. If you really want a God encounter, you really want to get your eyes opened up, you got to be willing to give up your pride and your dignity and lay on the ground before God and give up your heart to him straight out, man. What I'm teaching you is not bogus. We've done this a lot of times now. We've done this a lot of times. This isn't one time we did it and maybe we got lucky. This is a lot of times. This is a consistent program laid out in your Bible. You make Teshuvah, you get to encounter your God. Come on, somebody. You make the real turn in your heart, mind, will, and emotions. You burn a sin list. You accept the sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You come clean with God and you get right with God and He will show up for you. You go in the house and you praise Him and you worship Him with all you got. He will show up for you. You'll be amazed and astounded at first. These things are not formalities. This is the way into His presence. I don't know about you, but I can't live without His presence. He asked in the Bible, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you buy water and milk and wine for a price that does not satisfy? The only bread that's going to satisfy you is His presence. The only drink that's going to satisfy your thirst is the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm trying to explain how to experience His glory on a personal, real, intimate level. How much of Him do you want? How much of God do you want? How real do you want to get with God? Because you know what? He can get pretty darn real with you. He can get really real with you. He's going to get in places in your life you don't want Him. But you know what? He'll fix them if you step back out of the way. There's a lot of wreckage and junk in all of our lives. There's baggage we bring in from the world. There's stupid stuff we do when we get into things. And He'll fix it all if you'll back up and say, Lord, have Your perfect way in my life. Lord, let Your will be done in my life, not mine. Because you know what? We just messed it up again. We messed it up the first time. We didn't learn. And everything we try, I'll mess it up a different way. Come on, somebody. But when God gets up in your life, He'll start fixing your stuff and making it right. So how badly do you want to experience the living God? You've got to prepare yourselves for the encounter, and Teshuvah is the season of preparing yourselves. This week, I want you to press it in prayer for the Feast of Tabernacles. I want you to pray for the people who are planning not to come, that God will get in their life and completely disrupt their lives so that they have no choice but come. I want you to pray that He is going to bring His power and His presence in a new way for you and everybody else in there. I want you to pray that the living Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, is going to walk in that hall and touch people and that they are going to know they've been touched. Look, when you've been touched by Christ, no one has to explain it to you. You understand what I'm saying? You get touched by the Lord, no one's got to explain to you what happened. You'll be... We know we're going to go to dinner in a few minutes. Had one man tell me after encountering God and weeping at the altar for a long time, he said, how can y'all just get up and go eat? I said, well, because it's been almost 24 hours since I last ate. I'm hungry. But the first time you get in this, you're going to lose all sense of time. You're not going to care. How bad do you want these experiences? Pray for them. Pray for them for yourself. Pray for them for others. Pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will blow your mind, and press in for everybody to be able to come. Great Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. We lift You up. We glorify You. Adonai Yeshua at Your right hand. We lift You up. We glorify You, Lord. We've lifted You.